This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hey, listen to Wrestling Round Upon for FM, RFM, and MPR. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey.
Royal Rumble, that was the big thing this weekend. Let's just crack straight into the Gunther AJ Styles match. We'll jump over the Royal Rumble match itself for now. His career was on the line, and AJ Styles fought like it. We already thought so, because Shinsuke Nakamura had kind of given away the ending a little bit. Everything was leaning towards it. I had a glimmer of hope. Maybe AJ Styles is gonna make it out unscathed, but ultimately he goes to sleep, as does his career.
At least as far as we know of his career in WWE, we don't know for sure. We would never quite know for sure until we don't see him wrestle again. It would not surprise me if he did wrestle in TNA before, because him not leaving his gloves in the middle of the ring still has me questioning it.
Yeah, it's definitely suspicious. He did say that this next year would be his last, and but he did enter at the Royal Rumble, so it does make sense that his contract would be up around this time as well. Yeah, picking the gloves, like taking them off, and I was like, okay, he's gonna do this instead of boots, cool. And then just kind of deciding, no, I'm gonna keep these on, I'm gonna pander to the crowd, and I'm gonna head out with them, really did give the indication that he might not be done. Whether that's going back on his word, whether that's in the WWE, or whether that is wrestling, you know, TNA, AEW, New Japan, somewhere else, as a part of his last year. We won't know, at least, you know, for a couple of weeks, until something may or may not get announced. But if this is truly the last match of AJ Styles, it was a pretty good match to go out on.
Yeah, and we're definitely getting, we have Gunther as a new character, the career killer.
It's a hard one to do long term, it feels like. You know, there's only, if every time he gets into a feud with someone, it ends with their career being finished. You can only do that so many times.
That's true. But there's also things that you can do to work into that with other stories. It kind of looks like they may be aiming at Rey next. What if that's not the direction we go?
Yeah.
What if Dominic Mysterio stands up for his father? Like, I'm the one that's supposed to retire him, not you.
Yeah, it is possible. I do think that Rey versus Dominic is a lot more better for a final chapter, and so it would work here, you know, with Dominic having to almost fight for the right to retire his father, which on paper sounds insane, but in a wrestling context is perfectly normal.
Yeah, and it would be a great a vehicle to turn Dominic face, to have him, because right now I don't think there's a person in any company right now that gets as much heat, as much vile hatred from the crowd as Gunther is getting right now. I think him standing up for his father, wanting to be the one that get the job done, to bring the end of the legacy of Rey Mysterio Jr., but doing it the right way, and kind of like having that bow on him where he went heel by betraying his father and then becoming faced by standing up for his father.
Yeah, I think it would fit well, especially if Gunther is going to go after all of Rey Mysterio's friends in the lead up. We already saw him take out Dragon Lee. And so if he's going to just, you know, take them out one by one, it makes sense for when there's nobody left there to stand that Dominic slides in at that point and stands up for his father. Definitely something I could see in terms of where he's going to go. We'll see with Gunther how the character does develop. As I said, you know, you can only retire so many people. And I guess in the roster they had at the moment, maybe there was a few older people who were looking towards retiring, but they made Randy Orton the legend killer work. So I'm sure they'll make Gunther the career killer work just as much. You know, it doesn't have to be every single feud, just enough to remind you that he is still the career killer.
Yeah, I think, and it's also a great way to keep him away from the world title right now. Just to get him something that's not him holding a major title.
Well, talking about major titles, our other non-Rumble match on the card was for the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre coming into it with the belt and walking out with the belt as well. Sami Zayn, I think it's 0-14 now. Potentially. I think I saw that stat floating around against Drew McIntyre. It is truly his kryptonite.
Yeah, there are just some people that no matter how many times you face them, you just cannot beat them. And in the case of Sami Zayn right now, that seems to be Drew McIntyre. It would be an excellent way of saying maybe that's how he finally gets over the top and gets a world title. Is maybe Drew holds it to like SummerSlam and Sami earns the right to challenge him again. And maybe it'll be like, not only is this last chance at Drew McIntyre, but it's like maybe he has to put his career on the thing. Career versus title or something like that, where you're not sure because of the fact that he's never beaten Drew.
Yeah, and I think we saw it a little bit with Jey Uso versus Gunther, right, heading into WrestleMania last year. A storyline of desperation definitely sells well.
Don't know who's going to face Drew at WrestleMania, but it's going to be fun watching it play out.
We'll talk about the Rumble, but it definitely does seem as though, you know, the Rumble winner has already picked. He is going to go after the World Heavyweight Championship, which does leave the WWE Championship wide open. Typically, we do have an Elimination Chamber match to see who will be the second number one contender, but they're really selling me on a triple threat here because Drew's attacking Cody, Cody's attacking Jacob Fatu, Fatu's attacking McIntyre. She's a real triangle right now. And the logical outcome is a Cody Drew match, fine, but I really want to see Jacob get that spotlight. So I don't know, give me a tie in the chamber somehow, to give me a triple threat because that's what I want to see out of the three of them.
Yeah. There's no guarantee that the chamber could be used for that. Chamber could be used for the number one contender for Jade Cargill's title because I don't think Rumble winners. Honestly, I think the Rumble winners are both taking Raw's championships. I just don't see that as like an outcome, and so possible that the Elimination Chamber matches might be used for like the women. It might be used for, maybe they'll even bring back like tag teams. Maybe they'll throw six tag teams in.
Yeah.
And then you can have your possibly. Triple threat.
Whatever gets me the triple threat makes me happy. And I know it's a little early, but I'm going to go into the entrance theme now just so we can talk about both of these Rumble matches on the other side of the theme. And ultimately, it makes no sense to put it in this order, but I'm going to. Because we're going to play Liv Morgan's theme. And, you know, if you didn't watch the Royal Rumble, spoilers for like 2 minutes from now when we talk about this match. Watch me. Andrew Becker, and Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady. He's Josh. Let's talk Women's Royal Rumble match entrance from top to bottom. We've got Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Kiana James, Nia Jax, Ivy Nile, Lola Vice from NXT, Candice LeRae, Jordan Grace, Becky Lynch, Sol Ruka from NXT, Roxanne Perez, Maxine Dupri, Natty, Liv Morgan, Lash Legend, Zelina, Raquel Rodriguez, Chelsea Green, Julia, Io Sky, Asuka, Rhea Ripley, Bayley, JC Jane from NXT, Nikki Bella, Lyra Valkyria, Kalani Jordan from NXT, Kairi Sane, Hall of Famer Brie Bella, and Tiffany Stratton at number 30, with Liv Morgan coming out on top.
There's a saying over here that's always applies to somebody who comes in second and never wins. And that was that Liv Morgan was always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Well, now she's a bride. She won. I mean, she had almost as many second place finishes as Roman Reigns does. And Roman holds the record for most second place finishes. So I'm interested. I don't know exactly where we're going, but I have a feeling, especially since the end of Raw involved Raquel failing to win the title because Liv got involved, even though being told not to. I think what's going to happen is she will challenge Stephanie for the title at WrestleMania, win it, and then immediately be turned on the next night on Raw.
Yeah, I think there's a few opportunities here, right? I do think Liv Morgan is going to remain on Raw. I know she said that she was going to pop along to SmackDown and still hasn't made her decision, but it does make a whole lot more sense. It is where the Judgment Day is. It is what they're doing right now. You're right. Raquel Rodriguez potentially could have been champion had it not been for Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez poking their noses in. So who knows, you know, what they want to pull off here, whether they want to put Liv versus Stephanie, whether Stephanie will still be holding that title come WrestleMania, if the other members of the Judgment Day will be involved in said match, whether they turn on Liv before, after, left, right, center, all over the place. Quite a bit, but this one is going to be revolving around the Judgment Day. If Stephanie is involved in the picture, she is just going to be the spark, or she's going to be a piece in the machine. The story is the Judgment Day girls.
So she's the Miz in the lead up to WrestleMania 27.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it hurt Fitz's, it might mean she might win, because the Miz won that match.
And he won't let you forget it.
No. Wouldn't this have been interesting? What if Raquel had won that match and won the title? And then at WrestleMania, it would have been Liv Morgan versus Raquel Rodriguez with special guest referee of God damn, I forgot her name.
Roxanne Perez.
Being forced to be the special referee. How interesting would that have been as a storyline?
Yeah, I'm not gonna rule it out. I think there's still a lot of time between now and WrestleMania. It's possible that Raquel and Vakir do get a rematch at Chamber or before now, but the heat really is between Liv and Raquel. You're right. That's what we're aiming for. Liv eliminates Raquel in the Rumble. She didn't really need to, ultimately. You know, it wasn't towards the end. It was the 27th elimination, but still could have worked together with her a little bit. Costs her the match. You could play it as, you know, Liv would prefer to take on Stephanie to Raquel because that's maybe an easier match. I don't know if it is in the storyline, but maybe that's Liv's reasoning. But it does feel like a clash between those two, whether that's at WrestleMania, whether that's at Backlash. Whenever it does happen, that is going to be the clash, is going to be Liv and Raquel going head-to-head. Do I know what side Roxanne's going to fall on? No. She's kind of been tag champs with both now at this point. could swing either way. Not entirely sure, but excited to see where it all goes. And on the men's side, we have Obafemi, Bron Breakker, Solo Sikoa, Rey Mysterio, Rusev, Matt Cardona, Damian Priest, Javon Evans, Triple A's Mr. Iguana, Trick Williams, Cody Rhodes, El Grande Americano, another El Grande Americano, the debuting Royce Keys, formerly known as Powerhouse Hobbs, Austin Theory, Bronson Reed, Ilya Dragunov, Triple A's L.A. Parker, La Parker, Dragon Lee, Logan Paul, L.A. Knight, Brock Lesnar, The Miz, Rey Fenix, Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, Jacob Fatu, Penta, Randy Orton, and Gunther as number 30, with Roman Reigns coming out on top.
All right. First off, I'm quite happy to see L.A. La Parker get a moment and get to be in the Rumble. If nothing else, this whole partnership and ownership of Triple A gave us that. So, very happy for that. I wonder if maybe the masked man wasn't Adam Pearce.
Okay.
I wonder if maybe we're getting Bron Breakker versus Adam Pearce at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So I guess for people who may not have seen the show, Bron Breakker drew number 2. Paul Heyman's throwing a fit the entire lead up to it. Comes out, gets attacked by a masked man. Obafemi just tips him out, I think, about 10 seconds ultimately in the match. Shortest time for a number 2 entrant for sure. And yeah, it's Adam Pearce potentially. I've seen people say it's Austin Theory or Logan Paul, somebody else from The Vision. Paul Heyman certainly seems to think that it's Seth Rollins somehow being ready to come back. It did knock Bron Breakker out of contention for that world title shot at WrestleMania that we thought maybe he would be getting, but he does appear to be involved in something, some sort of big storyline heading into WrestleMania, even if it is another hooded guy storyline.
I think that's part of what, like, all right, I can take it. I can take the L. It seems like it's not just going to be like they're putting him on the shelf or something to do something later. They're seeming like doing something major with him. Whether it's betrayal of the Vision betrays him the way he betrayed Seth. If it's something that gets Adam Pearce in the ring, in a WWE ring, that'd be pretty cool with me. So I'm interested. I love the way Adam Pearce is needling Bron Breakker with some of his comments and stuff, and the way Bron Breakker's just flying off the handle. I think this is going to make some fun television.
Yeah, I think if we turn our attention to Raw, you're right. You know, Bron Breakker going insane. Ultimately, LA Knight does come out and attack the Vision. I think they both get kicked out for the night. LA Knight doesn't respect that and comes on back. It feels like there will be some sort of Vision versus anti-Vision kind of matchup, whether that's WrestleMania, whether that's before then, don't know for sure. And what side of the coin Bron Breakker ends up falling on is also a question mark for me. But they're definitely doing something with the Vision. It is not the world championship match, but it is gonna be something. Whether that's one match, two matches, don't know exactly how those pieces are gonna fall. But interested to see who ends up coming to LA Knight's side and helping out people who might not have a definitive WrestleMania plan and can be involved in that. But it's an interesting way to see how it's all gonna shake out. Turning our attention to the winner, just so we don't run out of time to talk about them, Roman Reigns does come out on top and has already picked CM Punk. Cut a hell of a promo on Raw. Match is booked. We're all invested. Let's go full speed ahead to CM Punk's first real main event, night 2 main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah. What can I say? This is a match that probably should have happened the second Punk returned. Because it is, as basically Rowan laid out, it's so personal between these two. A lot of the issues that Rowan dealt with the fans turning on him, were sparked by comments by CM Punk. In particular, ones that said he had to be made to look strong. It's going to be fun watching these, because this Roman, he's not the one that was the Roman at the time CM Punk left WWE. Not even the Roman that was when he debuted as part of the Shield. I kind of wish, though, as great as that promo was, I wish they would have mentioned the fact that CM Punk didn't want him in the Shield, but he was chosen and then made it work so much better than what the guy that Punk actually wanted would have.
There is plenty of time, obviously. I think a couple months before WrestleMania, I'm sure these two are going to get on the mic back and forth plenty of times between now and then. But you are correct, you know, for us to sit here and say it's going to be a good match because of X, the answer to that X or the missing part of the equation, just go listen to the promo. Just go watch Punk and Reigns go back and forth. They lay it out for you. There is a million and one reasons why these two have beef, why these two want to fight each other, whether it's Punk, holding up the title behind Roman Reigns' back, whether it's what you say, you know, the CM Punk comments on podcasts, whether it's Paul Heyman, whether it's helping out War Games. Just listen to the promo. It is all laid out exactly for you why you should care about this match, and it's gonna be one big of main event.
Yeah, and that's why I'm fine with Roman winning, because they made us care about him winning. They made us care about who he chose. Ultimately, it'll be a decent match. Probably won't be a great match, but it'll be a decent match, and it'll tell a story. And who knows? Maybe Roman wins the title from him, and then a couple months down the road, that's when he anoints Braun Breaker as the next guy.
Yeah. We'll see how it all shakes out for Roman Reigns, but I would be remiss to leave the Royal Rumble weekend without talking about, in my opinion, two superstars of the matches. On the men's side, Obafemi coming out number one, racking up five eliminations, ultimately Brock Lesnar tipping him out. And on the other side, for the woman, Sol Ruka from NXT coming in last until top three, over 50 minutes in the matchup. Damn good showing from both of them this weekend.
I know. That was not the female I was going to thought you were going to talk about, because I want to talk about the other one.
You want to go Lash Legend?
Yes, I want to go Lash Legend. Because what a performance she put on in that match. They made her look like the next big thing. And I think a year or two, I think she will be that. I think she will be a major player for the women's department division. Just like I think Obafemi will be a major player part of the men's. But also, I think we've got to go Brock Lesnar versus Obafemi at WrestleMania. Let's give us that match. We got to stare down. Let's give us a match.
Yeah, to your point on Lash Legend, if I'm to run down, you know, you can say she got five eliminations, you know, that's big in itself. But then to list the five people that she eliminated: Hall of Famer Brie Bella, Hall of Famer Nikki Bella, Jordynne Grace, former TNA Knockouts champion, Io Sky, and Charlotte Flair. That is like a who's who at the tippy top of the women's division to be on the list for Lash Legend to eliminate.
Yeah. I think this was about establishing the next generation, the next two people that are on their way up. So Ruka, I think, has tons of talent, will be ready to go soon. Lash Legend has improved immensely since she came in to NXT. And I think she will be a major player and will be ready to go. I could definitely see them bringing back the King and Queen tournaments and Lash Legend winning it.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's so many options. And if anything, these Rumble matches highlighted that, you know, you look over, and we're running out of time, so I'm just going to quickly throw it out there. The men's match, you got Javon Evans being the Iron Man as well. You got Trick Williams doing pretty well, getting a bit of a three-way face-off to mirror back to their NXT past. And JC Jane from NXT also getting quite a bit of showing. There were so many new talents coming up that got the opportunity, whether it's to get high-profile eliminations, whether it was to be in the match a long time. It was cool to see some of those fresh faces coming up and telling you who might be those WrestleMania main events in 1, 2, 3, or 4 years from now. Although they're not winning the match and they're not the main events this year, they're going to be in the future.
Absolutely.
Alrighty, well, that is all the time we've got for this week. It's been great talking to you.
Bye.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingIndieUpper, our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingIndieUpper, our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp, and we will catch you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.